Psalm 23 this morning. Anytime that you preach on things that are common, things that people are familiar with, passages that people know, it's always tough. Anytime you get up and somebody says, "Turn to John 3:16," you don't actually see it and hear it, but you can almost say, "Oh well, we've been here, done this, and I've heard this, and so I can kind of kick my brain out of gear, and I can think about what I'm gonna do at work tomorrow during the service." You know, we don't say things like that, but that's kind of sometimes what happens with the familiar passages. And this is one of those passages. It's probably the most quoted chapter in the Bible. It's short, but probably more people can quote Psalm 23 than any single chapter in all the Bible. And so I want us to look at it this morning. And I typically don't do things like this, but what if we were to read it out loud together, okay? And so I'll try to set the pace, and we'll read it in 3, 2, 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Lord, again, we call upon you, and Lord, we're asking for divine favor and help. Lord, we thank you for the good liberty. We thank you, Lord, for the good spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the warmness of the people of God coming together. And now, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us this morning. Lord, you will be done in every one of our hearts. And Lord, we want to be more like you. Lord, we want to have more appreciation as we enter into the Easter season. We want to have more appreciation for the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Lord, our hearts, we ask that you take our old, hard, calloused hearts, and Lord, would you take that balm of Gilead and that oil of the Spirit, and Lord, would you massage those hard places and soften us, Lord, to the mind of God, to the will of God, and help us, Lord, to surrender our hearts and lives that we may truly be sheep and we may follow the Good Shepherd. Thank you, Lord, again for all the ways that you've helped us and all the ways that you've blessed us. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. If you read too many commentaries, if you read after commentaries, they will tell you that Psalm 23 is not a standalone psalm. Psalm 23 is part of a pair of triplets. In Psalm 22, we see the Savior suffering. In Psalm 24, we see the Savior as sovereign. But in the middle, we see the Savior as shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And what's interesting about that is, in the Spanish language, when it's translated, it says Jehovah es mi pastor. And I may not got the first part right, but the word pastor is the one I'm looking for. The Lord is my pastor. The Lord is my pastor. That's the same word. The word shepherd and the word pastor is the same word in the Spanish language. And so it is in the English language. That's where we get it from. And it's actually a verb. Pastor is where the sheep eat. And to pastor is to put the sheep where they can eat. That's the idea. Somebody who feeds the sheep. And so the psalmist started out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I just want to, as introduction, just make a few comments about the passage. Notice that the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to understand that this psalm applies to the sheep of his pasture. It does not apply to someone who the Lord's not their shepherd. And somebody said, well, I claim Psalm 23. It's so precious to me. Well, the only way you can claim Psalm 23 as if the Lord is your pastor. If the Lord is your shepherd. If that's not the case, then the rest of the things you can't claim. The reason I can say, I shall not want, I lie down in green pastures beside still waters, my soul's restored, righteousness' sake is where he leads. The reason that the sheep can say those things is because of the first statement. The Lord is my shepherd. And of course, we know that that means that that's primarily talking about salvation. And so lost people, a lot of lost people read Psalm 23. I see it on, you know, their funeral bulletins. They'll print it on the back. And, you know, and their obituary. I've been to the funerals. But that person truly did not know Christ as Savior. That person did not know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. And for that reason, that verse doesn't mean as much. But let's look on down. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let me tell you something about that very quickly. The only time that sheep lay down is when they've had all they want to eat. And that's pretty rare. They like to eat. But if you have, there's got to be two or three things got to be present. First of all, they've had all they want. Secondly, the only way they'll lie down, they're most vulnerable when they're lying down. Because running is their only defense. And they're very jumpy for that reason. When you get one that lies down, it's free of predators. It does not feel threatened. And when it doesn't feel threatened, then it will lay down. But only then will it lay down in green pastures. Otherwise, it'd stay and eat all night. And they do. They can eat just about round the clock. And so he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The scripture says he leadeth me beside the still waters. Something else that I've learned. Sheep are, and even goats for that matter, are terribly afraid of running water. We've got a bubbling brook down by the house, a little stream. I don't even have to worry about that. We were running wire this week. I was running electric wire across, and where the creek goes in, I appreciate all of Jerry's help and the others who helped, thank you. But we have some openings where the creek comes through. And we were trying to figure out, what are we going to do about that? Boy, they could just get in the creek and go right up the creek. And then I got to thinking, that's not going to happen. If they can go up the creek bank and get under the wire, that's one thing. But they're not going to wade up the creek. I know the animals too well. They're just not going to do it. And so there's no reason to even worry about that because they're not going to get in the creek. You know why? Because that creek running too fast. And they're all afraid of that fast, noisy running water. Couple of things. Sheep, when they're wet, they're heavy. And they can drown because of all the wool and all of when they get wet. But the second thing is the hearing, a sheep, they don't see that well, but boy, they hear real well. And so they're always listening. And you'll watch them. They'll turn their head and they'll listen. And they can hear, it's amazing what they can hear. It's hard to believe, but sheep can tell the sound of a motor. Sheep can tell what car you're driving. You say, preacher, you're dreaming. No, I'm not. I was at the barn this week. I've got a little lamb. It's 8 weeks old yesterday. And bought it right before Share-a-thon of all times. No, 7 weeks old yesterday. I bought a 5-week-old lamb. I'll tell you more about that as the time goes on. And yesterday I was at the barn, and yesterday before, and he's fine with all the other animals, and suddenly he starts carrying on. And think about this, sheep don't make a noise when they're herding, but when they're hungry, they do, loudly, very loudly. And so Benjamin is his name. He began to make noise. And he, meh, 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 meh. And I mean, it's just drive you crazy. And I thought, what changed? what is wrong? What's going on? And so I walk over to see if he's okay, making sure that he's not hurt or anything, and I see Shanna pulling in. That lamb heard her Suburban. That Suburban is a sign he's going to get fed. And she's fed him ever since I got him. She's feeding him, bottle feeding him 3 meals a day. And while he will take a bottle from me if he's extremely hungry, and he has taken it from a couple other people, he's more hesitant. But he associates Shanna as his mama, and she has imprinted him. And I'm going to tell you the truth, he can hear the sound of her car. And that's their defense, is listening, and they can hear a predator. And they will circle up, and the rams will take their place, and the ewes will put the lambs in the middle, and they will circle up if they hear a cow howl or a wolf holler. They'll do that. And the hearing is keen, but if they're near a bubbling brook, if they're near a stream that makes a lot of noise, they can't hear the predator. And because they're deathly afraid to go into water, a place that a predator could hem them up against the creek and have a real good meal. And so they're pretty scared of that. Leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Look in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see the colon? Now the colon indicates that we're going to continue the sentence, but we're going to change the thought. But it's a related thought. The scripture says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so this morning, I want to look at the Good Shepherd, and I want to look at the thought, the Good Shepherd, our protector and our protection. I'm interested in what the scripture says in this, for thou art with me. I'm starting right there, for thou art with me. And I'd like to say, first of all, this morning, something about the shepherd's dwelling. The Bible says, thou art with me. I never knew that animals had such a fondness and a closeness to people. And our animals that we have collected, it's amazing how much they like to be around people. And how much they like to be where we are. As a matter of fact, late this week, we got the big pasture rewired and got it all fenced in. And so we turned the big donkey out, 14-hand Big Jake, turned him out. Turned the little goat, little man, the little Billy, I turned him out to pasture, put him outside. And they've got probably 5 acres. There's 2,000 feet of fence. I haven't figured up how much that is. But there's 2,000 feet of fence, and it's going to save having to mow that every 10 days to have some animals on it. I'm excited about that. But when I turned them out, you know where they went? Absolutely nowhere. As a matter of fact, they come back in the feedlot. Now, for weeks, they have been doing everything known to man to get out of the feedlot. They've tried to go under. They've tried to reach over. They've tried everything. Little man has figured out he can climb fences. And so he'd climb that wire and get out to get that grass on the other side. And then when he'd get out, then it'd make the mule mad. And the mule would start braying. And that mule's got the loudest bray. He will deafen you. If you're ever over there and he starts, put your fingers in your ears because it hurts. Because he'll get right at you. And I mean, he don't stop. He's got about a 20-second cycle, and it's terrible. And I know my neighbors hate me. I just know they do because I've got that. But he's pretty quiet at night. But when it's feeding time, when he sees you, oh, my soul, same thing. When the vehicle goes in and out, I know what's going on. Shanna was over this morning. I'd already fed early, and I heard the donkey go off, the donkey alarm. And I heard the donkey alarm go off, and I thought, wonder what that was. Wonder what that is. And then later I talked to Shannon and I said, I heard the donkey go off. I wonder what was going on. She said, oh, that's me. I'm over here. He knew her. He knew her vehicle. He knew it was her. And so here he went. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to do a bit of an illustrated message this morning. And I hope that it'll prove a blessing to you. And so we've got a special guest. We've got a couple, actually. I'm going to enlist Samuel for his help. And I appreciate him being non-resistant to being drafted at the last minute. And the reason that he got the part was because the vest fit him better than it did anybody else, all right? And so, but I think it's fitting. Come on over. That the shepherd, just a second, all right? That the shepherd is, that this particular shepherd is, feels called to Israel. And God's calling him to the nation of Israel. So I think that's pretty fitting, don't you? Initially, I was going to dress up, and that's how I practiced it. And then I got to looking at the vest, and it looks like that I look like the Michelin man in it. And then the final thing was, the final deciding factor was that Shannon told me this morning that Benjamin's got diarrhea. And so I said, I know somebody that'll do the part, all right? I know somebody. So for that reason, I have chosen one of our seniors, and I want to make some memories for him. And so I have placed a vest of simulated wool on him, and that would be common, what the shepherds would have worn in days gone by. This is actually called an akal. I bought this in the Middle East, and so this is authentic. This particular one would indicate... This is probably Bedouin, would be what they're by the colors and by the color of the call and the color of the dressing. You can tell who someone is. Now, he's going to stay here with me. All right, and I'm going to get you to kind of turn a little bit toward the camera, toward the congregation. Okay, and so the Bible says, "Thou art with me." And then it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Benjamin to come in, if he will. Benji, come here, buddy. Benji, come here, buddy. He says, I had enough of that. I'm not going. But if Mom brings him in, he'll do anything Mama wants him to. All right, we'll just put him right here if he'll stay. Will he stay? If not, he may have to hold him, okay? This is Benjamin. Benjamin is a Katahdin sheep, and he is 7 weeks old yesterday, and he is one of the smartest and one of the best. He's one of the best breeds of sheep, but he's also amazingly smart and beautifully friendly. Let's stay down, buddy. It's going to cause us trouble. That's going to cause us trouble, okay? That's going to cause us trouble. I may have to get him held. Yeah, could you stay right there? Huh? Everybody say ah, all right? There we go. Ah, okay, there we go. And if you wonder why his wool looks different on the back end than the front end, it's because he's wearing a pamper, all right? And so we cut the sleeves out of that thing that he's got on and made a little covering for him. And to hide his pamper. And the reason we did that is because he's a boy and the pamper's pink and he's embarrassed, all right, by having it on. Okay. Now, I'll tell you a little bit more about the leg in a minute, okay? So I'll tell you just a little bit more about that in just a minute. But the scripture says, thou art with me. This lamb has, because it was bottle fed, 2 weeks ago right before Sherathon, we went to the sale. And... one of the first things to come through was this lamb. I didn't go with any intention of buying a lamb. But a 5-week-old bottle-fed lamb was put out in the big arena with several hundred people, standing room only. And he was doing just that. He was bad. He was out there by himself. They picked him up, set him out there to fend for himself. And he looked around at that big, cold crowd. And it was cold that day. And he was shivering. And I had Katie with me. And I looked at Katie, and she gave me those puppy dog eyes. You might know what those are. So, grandpas, if you can resist puppy dog eyes, good for you, all right? I can't. And I said, the lamb's going home. And so I put my bidding card up, and I bought him off the slave auction. I bought him away from the sale. Not a good place to buy animals necessarily, because you don't know their background, you don't know what they are. He's being bottle fed, so because we went straight into Sherathon, Shanna I called ahead. She went and got bottles. She went and got formula. And she has been his mama. The thing about it is, he wants to be where she's at. And she has imprinted him. He likes everybody else. He's okay with me. He's okay with others. But what I want you to do, as many as can, I want you to come and hold him and pet him over at the barn so that we can get him not just adapted to one, but just for people in general. Well, the scripture says, I fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. For thou art with me. The other day, he cries when you leave him. So Shana put him in his lap, put him in her lap, had to take the boys to school in Hendersonville to class, went through Chick-fil-A, and he's in her lap. Rolls down the window for the girl to get the order, and he looks out the window and baths at her. And she goes, "Is that a lamb?" And she said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh!" Charged full price for the meal, but still was impressed. A lamb. I took him to the vet yesterday. Everybody loves him. Everybody loves him. Now, by the way, Benjamin was named on the way home. And I think Joel and the kids had a part in naming him. This was 4 days before Brian McBride preached on Benjamin the Lamb. What a coincidence. Had I known what he was preaching, Benjamin would have been here for that service. But I did not know. I had no idea what he was preaching. And I thought about bringing him to Share-a-thon, but there was not another really lamb message. I thought about bringing him to one of the messages on Calvary for Brother Rudy. I thought about it. But again, just like it didn't fit, like it didn't work exactly like I wanted it to. And so for that reason, I couldn't get it off of me, though, this morning. And you know how I am. When I get hung on something, I might as well go ahead and get it off my chest because I can't move on. So when I get something on me, I'm there. And yesterday we had some events that made today even more applicable. So why did the lamb not fear? Why did the sheep and by the way, that's who's talking in Psalm 23. It's from the perspective of the sheep. The Lord is my pastor. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's first person sheep. That's who's doing the talking. It's exactly who's talking. The sheep's talking. And he says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That's another message. "I'll fear no evil." But this is what he said. "For thou art with me." I do believe that this thing would follow me right into the slaughterhouse. I do believe this thing would follow Oshana. She could lead it anywhere. She could lead it into a path of destruction. Or she could lead it into another path. If she so desired. Because it fully trusts her. Wherever she takes it, he's okay. She's taking it home, and last night he spent the night at her house. Yesterday with a broke leg, he was in a lot of pain. Did you know that he never one time cried? Did you know that he never one time made a single noise because of his broke leg? And even when the doctors x-rayed it and said it, he never cried out once. Not once. But it was so painful they had to give him gas to put him asleep enough to where they could set the brake and then re-x-ray it so they could get the splint on it because it's bad broke. It's got a really bad break. But not once did he say a word. And I thought about what Isaiah said. "As a lamb dumb before his shears." You remember the message I preached on the lion and the bear? Y'all remember that? Remember the message? Remember what I said? I said, "I don't know what caused that. I don't know what caused that bear. I don't know what caused that bear to come, but probably that sheep was bleeding and it was scared and it was crying, and that lion got it and maybe it heard it and it was crying, and then the bear come because it heard the sheep bleeding." Remember me saying that? Well, you know, that's good preaching. Ain't but one problem with it. It's not true. A boy in the islands come up to me. And he said, after I preached it, he said, "Preacher," he said, "you have sheep?" I said, "No." He said, I live my life with sheep." He said, "That's what I am. I'm shepherd in the islands, in the West Indies." And he said, "Sheep don't make noise." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When they're hurting, They don't make a noise. They won't say a word. Not one word. You probably couldn't hear him do it, but just then he grit his teeth. I first thought that he had something in his mouth, and of course he's not on solid food yet. He ground his teeth just then. That's a sign that he's hurting, and the way I've got him is probably hurting him because he started gritting his teeth to the point last night that gave him a shot for pain yesterday, and I've got another one to give him as soon as we get out of church because of the pain, so I'm sure the pain shot has wore off. But he'll never say a word because he's hurting. I didn't know that about sheep. I had to learn the hard way. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a picture of our Lord? Okay. I don't know how long he's going to... he'd stand right here as long as I rub him. But he's due to make a mess, and so... I want to move on with the message. The scripture says, "For thou art with me." That's the shepherd's dwelling. Then I want to say a word about the shepherd's defense. The scripture says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Reach in the bag, shepherd, and get the rod. Now, he's not bad because he's hurting, even though he may be. He's banged because he wants his mama right there on the front row. Okay? Hold that up if you will. This is a genuine shepherd's rod. Hold it by the handle like you would. That's what a shepherd's rod is. That came from either Africa or the Middle East one. I don't remember. That's a shepherd's rod. A young shepherd watches for trees that he can get up, a big root system. And that's where the knob comes from. And they will whittle those, and they will round those, and they fit them to their hand. And the thing about that rod is the defensive weapon. If you ever watch any of the old gangster movies in the 20s, when they would say, "I'm packing a rod," that meant they had a pistol. The pistol was a weapon. And you think about it, a pistol is an extension of a man's hand. And it's also an extension of a man's will. You can exercise your will way out yonder. So could a shepherd. That rod right there, they would have practice throwing those things. And the shepherd boys would get together and throw their rods. And it was amazing the accuracy. I'm talking about they could kill a predator at quite a distance. I mean, you get hit with that thing, it'd kill you. And so it was used in defense. It was a part of the defense of the sheep. And it was an extension of the right arm. But also not just defense, and not just, but the rod also was a picture of examination. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 37 says, "I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." To pass under the rod meant a shepherd would get them in the sheepfold or in the morning, getting them out. Each one of them had to go through, and they had to have the rod, and he would part their hair with it. He would pull their ears up and look at them, and he would use the rod as a source of examination. And if they were limping a little bit, he'd check that. He'd use the rod. And so they would pass under the rod. So every sheep had to come and pass under the rod in order to get out of the sheepfold first thing of the morning. He's grinding his teeth again. And so it speaks of examination. But it also speaks of authority. And so the shepherd's dwelling, thou art with me. The shepherd's defense, the rod. And then the shepherd's discipline. Pick up the staff, if you will. Now, this is a crude version, but this better represents what a staff looks like than a walking cane that I had. And so I chose this one. Once again, this was something that they would look far and wide for, and at times they would find more than one, and they would get a better one. I'm looking for a laurel. You've seen laurel that have almost a perfect curve in them. I'm looking for a laurel that I can make a staff out of, because the curve is very important. And the stick was longer, and it was used for several things. The shepherd's discipline. It was used for pairing. What do you mean? Well, oftentimes, if you have a large herd, the ewes will begin to drop their young, drop their lambs at the same time. And oftentimes, a young lamb, he's struggling. He can't get up and get to his mama and get that first drink of milk that is so vitally important. And if you have sheep that are raised outside and they're not as friendly and as warm as he is, sometimes by putting your hands on a newborn lamb, you put your scent on it, and there are times that you will reject it. And so that shepherd would actually take that crook and that stick, would actually very carefully lift the lamb up and bring it over near his mama so he could feed. And that, by doing that, didn't have to touch it, and by doing that, wouldn't imprint it with human scent. And so it was used for pairing. But it was also used for pasturing, meaning simply that if you had a sheep that was distant, he wouldn't come to you, you couldn't tell. He had something in his hoof, but he wouldn't get close enough to you to where you could check, see what it was. They'd take that hook and actually get the sheep by the neck and pull him over to him, so they could examine it and see what was wrong with it and make sure it was all right. And so it was used for pairing the newborn with the mom. It was also used for pasturing, drawing the sheep close to the shepherd. But also, the staff was used for the path. You see, when sheep, you can't put a bridle on them like you can a horse or a mule or a donkey. But they do understand pressure. And there were times that the shepherd would take his staff and he would just exert pressure against the side of the sheep, showing the sheep, don't go that way, go the other way. Sometimes in our lives, God puts pressure in our lives. And what he's saying is, don't go that way, go the other way. You say, well, I'm getting so much resistance. The resistance does not always mean the shepherd's trying to redirect you. But I'm satisfied there are times the reason we can't get something to go right is because we're going the wrong direction. And the shepherd's trying to get us to go a different direction. And so that staff was used. It was long enough. You could, nah, nah. And he could, if they're trying to get him in the sheepfold at night, he just, nah. And he could reach and get a hold of the side of it, touch him, tap it. He'd put his stick out there, keep them from going. They're not going to go past that. And they would go in the sheepfold like they're supposed to. And sheep, they want one more bite full of grass, and they're going to stay out as long as they can. And so it's going to be hard to herd them and get them and pasture them and get them to go inside the sheepfold. But the staff is something that is used to help do that and to guide their path. But then also, in the event, bless your heart, are you hurting, buddy? In the event that a sheep gets stranded, sheep with a lot of wool are bad to get in briar patches. And they'll get in and get hung up. And they get hung up in places that the shepherd can't get to. And so the shepherd will use that shepherd's staff. And he'll reach in. And he'll go to pulling those briars out. He'll go to breaking that stuff. And he'll start pulling all the restraints out. And he'll use that to rescue the sheep. There have been instances where they've been off of a ledge. And a shepherd has used a staff and reached down over a ledge and hooked the lamb under the front arms. Picked it up and brought it to safety. It's documented. That has happened. It is a fact. So I'm interested in what the scripture has to say about thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But here's something that nobody wants to talk about. And this is a part of shepherding that everybody wishes that had never had to happen. I'll just quickly tell you the story. Come on, buddy. It's all right. Shh. You off the back? Okay, that's what's wrong. It's okay. You're good. All right, here you go. All right, we just got a minute more, okay? Is that good with you? If you're good. Oh, he's good. All right. So yesterday, we have a billy goat. We have a young little doe that I got at the sale, and we were bringing her in, hopefully going to have some babies with her when she gets a little older, but she's just little. And so we had the billy goat, little man, came in when I was feeding. My fault, I didn't have the gates closed correctly. He ran in, and so in an effort of trying to get him out and trying to stop him, Shanna jumped in, grabbed him by the collar, by the horn to get him, and in doing so, stepped backwards. Well, when she did, who do you think is one step behind her all the time? Who do you think followed her right into the fray? Of course. Where he leads me, I will follow. He come right underneath, and when she stepped backwards, her and little man, and she had the weight of little man, she stepped backwards and stepped on his leg. And as a result, he has a bad fracture right where the foot connects, right above the ankle, where it connects in. And it was such a bad fracture, I could take the foot and move it side to side and hear the crunching. So there was not a whole lot I could do because I could not set it without seeing an x-ray. And so I took him to an animal hospital yesterday. He was the only lamb there, I can say that. He was the only one there. And they took him in just like a dog, and they worked him. He was very good. Never cried out while they were hurting him or whatever, didn't cry out at all. But he just wouldn't stay still. So they showed me the x-ray. I have a picture of it. Showed me what the other foot looked like, what it's supposed to look like, then showed me his foot, very obvious. I was just glad that he didn't have to have surgery or anything. And so they gave him some anesthesia, some gas, and they put him asleep a little bit, and they reset it, put a splint on it, and he's actually got a walking cast, so he can walk on it. He walks pretty good on it, actually. But if you know anything about a broke bones hurt. And so he has been hurting the past 24 hours. And I've got some pain medicine to give him here when he's done here at church. But I want to share this with you. And the reason I wanted to preach this message is out of order. I'd like to preach a whole series of these. But that rod that's in the shepherd's hand, there's something that occurs rarely, but it does occur. When you have a lamb that thinks it knows more than the shepherd, it will not stay with the herd. It continues to run out. It continues to get in trouble. It continues to make itself available to predators. And technically, it causes the other sheep to be at risk because it's out there rogue by itself. The shepherd will pull it back with a staff. The shepherd will do all he can, trying to, do everything he can to try to get it to stay close to, but sheep are sheep. And they tell me the little rams, like he is, are the worst. Because they get the feeling that they're big enough to go their own way, and they get the feeling that they're long enough and big enough to, and so they've got their own mind about things. And as a last ditch effort, if you don't mind, bring that up, all right? That's a better picture. They're typically just a little bit longer than that, but I appreciate you going after that. That's all, really. Thank you, my brother. That's awesome. Look at that. Look at that. That's beautiful. That's more the real thing. What is that, buddy? Do you recognize that? That is the international symbol for a shepherd. Anybody in the world hold that up? Everybody knows what he does for a living, won't they? Yeah, that's what that is. Okay. All right. So, as a last-ditch effort, if the shepherd can't do anything else with him, and he knows he's going to get eat, and he's going to be lost anyway, the shepherd will take his leg and extend it, lay it out over a log. He'll take that rod right there, and he'll whack it, and he'll break that sheep's leg. You say, "Preacher, that's awful." It is. But remind you, he was going to die anyway. He was going to be eaten. His path was leading to destruction. There was no way in the world that he was going to survive all of that. Give me some help and let's see if I can show you then what happens. Come up here, okay? Help me, Shanna. Help me, Levi. Set that down, Levi, and we'll do that last. All right? So I'm going to lay that down. I want him to put him around his neck, okay? And I think leave this leg out, so put his head that way. So he needs to go this way. So what the shepherd would do, the shepherd would take the lamb that's got a broke leg, He'd drape it over his neck. And as awkward as it looks, believe it or not, I've already tried it before the broke leg. And he didn't like both legs on this side, but if he could straddle my shoulder, he kind of liked being up there. He rode all the way from the barn to the house like that on my shoulder. And the main reason was he liked me. And he just liked being close to me. He's that way with Shanna. He lays his head on Shanna's neck. If he could get closer to her, he would. He just can't. He can't physically get any closer to her than his head on her neck. And he'll sleep like that. And is extremely content to be that play. Let me tell you what happens. When a lamb, the shepherd, has to break his leg. Somebody said, does the Lord do that? The scripture says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth and scourgeth every son. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But the Bible says this, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. It's a very strong verse, using some very strong words, but they're in your Bible, in the book of Hebrews. And so, by putting him around the shepherd's neck, he would create that bond. And by doing that, when the leg heals and he puts him down, he'll still hop, by the way. So what they'll do sometimes is they'll bandage the other leg. And then he'll start carrying it. And then they'll take it off and then he can't remember which one hurt. It's okay. It's all right. Come here. It's all right. Can we get him down? Let's get him down. But once the lamb has been on the shepherd's back for about 2 weeks is all it takes for that leg to heal. They said in 2 weeks he should be fine. And after 2 weeks, that lamb you can be separated from that shepherd. At that point, everywhere the shepherd goes, the lamb goes. No more straying, no more wandering, no more predators. Because the good shepherd loves his sheep. But sometimes he loves us enough. You hear me? Sometimes he loves us enough to bring out the authority. This is a stick of examination, but it's also a stick of authority. And sometimes the separate shepherd says, enough's enough. And he exercises his will. And you say, it hurts. It does. But the path you were headed down led to destruction. And if God hadn't stopped you, you'd have been gone. Absolutely gone.